The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to Thursday. It is great to have all of you here. And, man, we have a lot of guests and a lot of conversation to talk about here today. We begin with where we left off last night. The biggest game of the year in the SEC. Would Alabama clinch the SEC title? Would they claim or try to begin to claim a number one seed? Didn't happen. In the biggest game in Fayetteville in at least two decades, the Razorbacks were razor sharp down the stretch. They had a big first half lead, let it get away by half, and then went on a run of epic proportions in the second half and wrapped up a huge victory.
Really proud of everybody. I thought we got great minutes from everybody. I thought we did a great job of attacking the paint, not settling, trying to get free throws attempted. We knew we did not want to get in a three-ball contest with them. We knew that we wouldn't win that.
We struggled shooting out of the gate. And then, Bruner kind of got us back in it with some made threes, and him and Petty kind of got going. But we didn't end up shooting it terrible from three. We ended up at 33%.
I thought we did a good job kind of taking away the three, especially early in the game, or at least, not allowing their premier, three-point shooters to take a lot of attempts. That was something that we really focused on, over the last 4 or 5 days.
So the two coaches, Coach Oates and Musselman, chatting. Meanwhile, the NCAA has announced that they have a contingency plan for March Madness. Remember when it was 64, then it became 68, now it will be 72. In other words, four schools will literally hang around with nothing to do if there aren't any COVID cases. The last four teams not selected shall be designated as replacement teams if they choose to be considered. Only in America. So that, I guess they'll cede their value in the NIT. Meanwhile, the college football playoff expansion talk is inevitable. Why does that sound familiar? Because you heard it here yesterday when Jack Swarbrick joined us, the vice president and director of athletics at Notre Dame, suggesting that at some point, yes, at some point, maybe before the contract, we could be there.
I think when the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Notre Dames, the USCs, whoever they are, get in periods where they're really good, I think that's great for college athletics. What we can't have is the sense of other schools that they can't make it in. And we've got to make sure that that opportunity is real and schools feel like they can get there. So eventually an expanded playoff will hopefully create that greater opportunity.
So that was yesterday, and today we'll talk a little bit more about that with one of our guests. Meanwhile, Justin Foster has said farewell to football. He's the Clemson player. Issues with COVID, asthma. He will watch the remainder of his career from the sidelines. And Northwestern is in the news. They will join Notre Dame for opting out of the EA Sports College Football until the rules are created for NIL. Remember, that was another thing that Jack Swarbrick talked about here yesterday. A lot of guests this afternoon. We'll start with Chris Marler from SDS. It's Saturday Down South for those of you who don't follow acronyms. Also, Kyle Peterson will join us talking about week one of the college baseball season. Marcelo on the CFP. And later on, quarterback and great baseball player John Rhys Plumlee will join us talking about both. He was also in Texas last week, so we'll get the latest from him. Your phone calls, of course, as well at 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285 is the number. You may begin to dial in now. If you want to tweet us, we'll put your tweets on the screen. So let's start with the phone calls here. And Michael is in Birmingham. And hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? You all right?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. Well, I saw the game last night. I thought Alabama was going to pull it out, but that was a trap game of the worst kind. It was poorly officiated last night. Petty got thrown out the game for what reason? I mean, he was asked about a call of some kind. He got tossed out the game. But, look, Bama's going to bounce back and win Saturday against Mississippi State, and they'll defeat Auburn on next week and clinch SEC title, outright the regular season title. And they'll lock up the number one seed in the SEC tournament and the two seed in the NCAA tournament. Bama's going to do quite well in the NCAA tournament, probably.
I'm glad to hear that. It was a little bit controversial last night, but it's over, and nothing is going to change. Now, Robbie is up next in Florida. Hey, Robbie, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, it is an honor to be on your show, sir. I've been calling for years. Real quick for my question for you, I want to give a shout-out to Blake Talkmeyer at Knoxville News Sentinel. I'm a regular on Ball Calls, and he's an article that I was in. And my question for you, Mr. Feinbaum, is I want to get your thoughts and outlook on Tennessee football. I'm looking at maybe 6-6, best-case scenario, coming up this season. Anything over would definitely be overachieving, but I don't see that with everything going on. Just want to get your outlook on Tennessee football.
Yeah, thank you for the call, and I'm a big fan of Blake Talkmeyer as well. I think he's one of the truly great young reporters covering the SEC right now. I think Tennessee can get to 6 wins, and anytime you start looking at a schedule in late February, you have the obvious, and then you have the tweener games, and when you're in Tennessee's position right now, you have 4 or 5 of those games every year, and you just hope to you hope to split or do better than that and try to get to 500. I think it's possible, though. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. More of your phone calls now, and apparently we're going to get a lot of Alabama fans upset about what happened last night, including Harrison, who is in Birmingham. Hello, Harrison.
Oh, Paul, my question is, after last night, I mean, it was a hard game to watch. I mean, especially with all the fouls, the 33 fouls. So I won't complain about that. Is Alabama a fraudulent team for basketball?
No. I had a friend of mine who's been following Alabama basketball for 40 years text me yesterday during the show. He said we are not going to win tonight. I can see it from a mile away or a couple of hundred miles away. And I just think sometimes there are trap games. I don't think Bama is fraudulent. I do have to be concerned, and I think the stats will bear this out, that when the three-point shooting starts to erode, Bama has trouble. And I think that has been a problem lately. But, the season is not going to be determined by what happened last night or the rest of the regular season. It's going to be in 3 weeks. And the one thing I like about Alabama, they have an innate ability to come back no matter what. And yeah, I realize they lost the lead, but I've seen them do this, as you have, a couple of times this year where they're down double digits and they can get back in a game so fast. And in an NCAA tournament game, it's a game of waves, and they're slow games because of TV, they're fouls. This year, of course, it's all going to be in Indiana, so you're not going to have great atmosphere. So you have to be able to get on runs, and I think this team is very capable of that. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. The guests start stacking in here in a couple of minutes, and we are off and running.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. If you want to give us a ring, I would recommend you do it now. We're about to get jam-packed with guests. We have a little bit of time now for you to converse with us. And the phone number is 855-242-7285. We mentioned the news from the NCAA basketball tournament today. They're adding four replacement teams. I guess you have the option. I'm not sure. You can go to the NIT or hang around Indianapolis waiting for some poor club to get COVID. But it is, I think what all of this is telling you and me and everyone else is that the NCAA tournament is going to go on. The television money is simply too big. And if it takes more than four, they'll go out and get an Indiana high school basketball team just to make sure there are television games. Let's get back to the calls right now at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with, who do we have here? Michael is in Kentucky. Hey, Michael, thank you and good afternoon. Michael, you there?
Hey, can you hear me, Paul?
I sure can.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, good. Great to have you on.
Hey, I have a question. The way that Kentucky is playing right now, with them kind of blowing Tennessee out and everything, do you think that it push rest of its regular season and the SEC tournament? Do you think they'll be okay in the NCAA tournament if they can win rest of the SEC games and the conference tournament?
Well, Michael, if they win the conference tournament, they will get the SEC's automatic bid. So that will take care of itself. I think the real issue is, what if they don't win the tournament? What if they win two more games regular season? There's still talk about adding a game at the end and only win two games or three games in the SEC tournament. And then they're going to be on the bubble. Right now, they are not in the field. They are working their way back into it. They have some very nasty early losses, but I do believe that the committee will look very favorably on what they're doing right now. But they have to keep going, and that is the most paramount thing.
Because as of right now, we only got Florida and Ole Miss right now for the rest of this week.
Yeah,
Florida.
Kentucky cannot lose one of those games. I mean, that's not even debatable. And then they need a run. I mean, they're digging themselves out of a very, very deep hole. So that's what's in front of them. Thanks for the call. Jeff is up next in Florida. Good afternoon, Jeff.
What's up, Paul? How you doing, sir?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Brother, first-time caller, long-time listener. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure getting the opportunity to listen to you in the evenings. Just a quick shout-out. Looked like last night we had a little home cooking in Arkansas. Was it just me? Or I've had several friends that we've talked to today says, man, did we get a little roughed up last night?
Yeah, I think the differentiation on the fouls, you have to go deep into the record book. I think there's one case I've seen in recent years, but that is extraordinary. Now, I think it's always easy to attack the officials. In this case, you could tell Alabama folks were pretty upset about it. I'm not trying to wipe it away. It was a big game, but there's nothing that can be done now.
Oh, I agree. I appreciate it, Paul. I'll be back in touch. Just wanted to hear
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm not overly shocked by it. I don't think anybody really is. I always defend officials because I've yet to see one that really cared about the outcome, especially when you get to the level of an SEC official. But you know, sometimes these things become runaway trains. I understand a sold-out Bud Walton affecting the mindset of the officials. Sometimes you can get caught up, but I don't know how that would have been the case last night. I'll defer to an official to explain. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And let's check in with Britt, who is up next. Hey, Britt.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing, sir?
We are well. Thank you.
Okay. I was just wanting to ask you about Auburn's basketball situation. Did they self-impose a no tournament ban on themselves, or did the NCAA do it, or what?
The school did it. The administration went ahead and did that, hoping that it would end the NCAA investigation, at least show the NCAA that they are serious. Now, I think when you have an average team, which clearly Auburn is this year, and now the Sharif situation making it even worse, it doesn't really affect the NCAA is not going to be moved by it. That's just an opinion, but this is not a tournament team anyway. So I think all they're doing I don't think it will help at all, frankly.
Yeah, so you're saying the NCAA will probably come down on them anyway, huh?
Well, it depends. I mean, this is a peculiar case where the university has steadfastly supported and defended Bruce Pearl. I've had several conversations with Coach about his involvement. He maintains his innocence, other than whatever they have admitted in terms of minor, in their words, transgressions. But I think it's still up in the air, and I don't know. We've had reporters on here who are Pat Forty being one, highly suspicious, but the lawyers at Auburn seem to think they know what they're doing. I hope they're right, because that has been a really great program under Bruce Pearl. Let's check out Don, who is in Missouri. Hey, Don, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
It's John, but hi.
I'm
Paul.
Sorry about that.
I'm so proud of my Rockets, all Razorbacks last night. They come a long way. They worked so hard and have done such a great job. You know, we've been subject to bad officiating, too, so many times. Look at football season. And Arkansas certainly is a comeback team also. Look at the Arkansas and the NCAA tournament against North Carolina.
Right.
Almost beat them. But, give Arkansas their due. Come on, they've worked hard this season. They've stuck in there, and I think they're going to do well.
Yeah, I agree. And I understand. Probably the Arkansas-Auburn game is the only football or basketball game this year that I still can't quite get over. And that was just ridiculous. I mean, there's no getting around. I mean, but last night, these things happen. I wouldn't take anything away from Coach Musselman's team. They won the game. They looked good in doing it. It wasn't all about one play. And you know, Alabama was playing very aggressive, and you can call a foul pretty much on any play of the game. And it seems like that's exactly what happened. Fred is up next, who's also in Arkansas. Hey, Fred.
Yes, Paul, these crybabies, Alabama, need to accept the fact they got the butt whooped. We went down there and they whooped us. We didn't cry about it. We took it like a man. We had three freshmen whooping their seniors, and Alabama, get over it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Maybe that'll be the last word on the on the Alabama-Arkansas officiating. Kay is up next. JK is up next. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Hey, Feinbaum. What's happening, baby?
Hey, I'm doing great. What about you?
Man, long time no talk to. Hey, I thought Alabama fans stopped whining and crying about pick plays since the Clemson football game, but now they're doing it in basketball. Alabama did not lead the game at all last night. They were down at least 10 to 13 points a few times. So all this whining and snot slinging, I talked to Jerome this morning. He's whining and crying and making excuses just like he do when Alabama lose a football game. It's no different. Y'all keep drinking that unsweetened Kool-Aid that Alabama is really a number one seed, and they're not. They might not even win the SEC tournament. So I don't know what the big uproar about with all this crying and whining and complaining about officials. Alabama played too aggressive. They got called for fouls. It's just plain and simple. Stop all that crying.
JK, so how bad was Jerome crying?
Man, if Jerome don't stop crying, the babies won't have nothing to do.
You would think he'd be happy with the football championship. I mean, he was stone silent for 2 years after the Clemson game.
Man, I thought I was the only one noticed. He just like the rest of the Bama. They don't go. They don't win a championship for 2 years and then miss the playoffs, and then they come in a COVID season and win just by playing mediocre and average SEC teams, and then get to the finals and win a championship. I think you need to put more than one star by that championship this year. But they need to stop all the crying, Paul. Just take it like a man, like the last caller said. When Alabama beat them, there was nothing said. But soon as Alabama gets beat, here come the babies.
Gene is up next in North Carolina. I don't remember ever having a basketball game the day after when we've had this much conversation about one issue. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, it's Gene, first caller. But I was just – when I watched the game, I just thought Alabama was flat. Arkansas took it to them, and they didn't respond. And if you don't respond, if you don't play your best ball, you're not going to have a real good chance of winning.
Now, well said, Gene. Appreciate that very much. Tom is up next, and where else but Arkansas? Hey, Tom.
Hey, Paul. Same thing. It's just Alabama played flat. Arkansas was aggressive. Alabama's not used to people going after them like Arkansas did. They were slow on their responses. They got called for fouls, and Arkansas took it to the line and won the game. I don't know what else to say about it unless you just don't pay attention to basketball.
No, there really isn't much else. And Tom, we'll let that be the last word for now. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. When we come back, we'll kick back and have a little fun with somebody that we haven't talked to in a while. He is Chris Marler from Saturday Down South. Always entertaining. Must listen. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here on a Thursday afternoon. And we're joined by Chris Marler, who hosts the new podcast, SEC Uncensored. Chris, thanks for making time. You're looking as svelte as always. How are you?
Appreciate that, yeah. I'm good. It's the first time it's College Football Uncensored, so we're 0-1, Paul. But yeah, it's still covering mainly SEC football, and I appreciate the svelte comment. That's what I've been going for here, you know, just trying to post-quarantine, so.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, we just put our dog on a diet because, you know, he has just crashed. you send the dog to the vet, and they come back and they say he's 20 pounds overweight. I mean, my wife and I are like, we're beside ourselves. We thought this dog was in good shape. The pandemic pig is now what we're going to call him. Hey, Chris, I want to get to your podcast in a second, but we've had call after call talking about last night's officiating. And I finally said, you know what? We can't do this all day. There are just too many more important things. So we'll let you be the last word. Can you settle the tie between the Bama fans and the Razorback fans?
Oh, that's tough, Paul. I want to say, listen, Arkansas was the better team. Arkansas was the better team. They deserved to win that game last night. But I will say this. I think that if you have 35 more free throws than the other team, if you're talking about fouls being in the 40s with 6 minutes to go, I'm tired of watching SEC officiating take over games in ways that they don't need to. It's just stop inserting yourself in the game. Stop being so prevalent in the games in multiple sports. Arkansas deserved to win. I think 37 fouls seemed a little bit much. That's all I'll say.
You think this was payback from the Arkansas-Auburn football game?
You know what? If it was, I would appreciate it for Arkansas fans. If it's a regular season basketball game taking over for that's totally fair, because what happened to them in Auburn with that Bo Nix, that was awful. I still feel for them. So if that was the case, we'll take this one as Bama fans, take the lumps and keep going.
So Chris, tell me about this new podcast, because a couple of weeks ago I think it was the first podcast with Connor O'Gara, the first of a new podcast. I didn't realize that you guys weren't doing it. I was so looking forward to being on with you, and then I found out I was only on with Connor. It was a little bit like being left at the prom. Can you? I'm not to get inside baseball here at SDS, but what's going on here?
So, you know, we've just had a really good year, surprisingly enough. I know, in a pandemic year, and we just want to grow. We want to start doing new stuff, and what Connor's doing is great. You brought the prom. I will say, I think I'm a better dancer, so I hate that for you, because I wouldn't leave you at the prom. But I know that Connor's done a great job. I think he had Sam Pittman on this morning, speaking of Arkansas, and so what he's doing is fantastic. And so that's fantastic work with SDS. We just wanted to grow a little bit and start doing more unique things. And so for people that are I think myself and I, my new partner, Tyler Huck, longtime friends, and we've had podcasts before, and we really love college football. We grew up around it down here. We grew up around the South, the SEC. And as you know, better than anybody, what comes with that is very passionate, over the top fans. And so if you love college football like that, and you maybe don't love the bleep button as much, you're going to love this podcast. So we have a good time. We take it seriously.
Not to interrupt. Well. In other words, you had enough with his milquetoast takes and had to go out on your own. Is that fair?
No, absolutely not. No, we just wanted to start doing new stuff. And thought it was time in the offseason, especially because the offseason is a really tough time to kind of drum up content anyway. So luckily we've had things like the McDonald's bags at the University of Tennessee and recruiting stories and all that kind of stuff to kind of help get through the offseason. And then, doggy diets as well. That's going to be on the next episode for sure. So it's the offseason time to try new stuff, and that's pretty much it.
I'm curious about that because, anyone in the media is essentially in the content business. It's a little bit easier here because you have a built-in partner with the SEC. But I am curious because there are some days when, let's be honest, the content is not great. How do you create new content that is going to be pleasing to people in a very competitive world?
I tell you what, Paul, I wish there was a button that we could just get Gus Malzahn hired at UCF once a week. Because if that was the case, we would just be on cloud nine from a content standpoint. When you look at an old Auburn coach getting knighted by a mascot, like that's like the peak days in the offseason. That was incredible for all of us. It's tough sometimes. I know, like yesterday, we were sitting there thinking, I was like, man, what is there to talk about? And you're talking about also a conference that is kind of top heavy with some of the program rich teams, with Alabama obviously being the topic of conversation more often than not. So you don't want to have that. Them being good at basketball is not good for anyone outside of Tuscaloosa. Because people are tired of hearing about Alabama. I tell you what's really been fun, and we are a college football podcast, and we're going to talk about spring games and this kid, Desmond Watson, down at Florida, weighing in at 432 pounds. That was incredible. So this has been some fun offseason stories. But also, you look at the stuff that other SEC fans are really passionate about. College baseball is something with SEC fans especially that it's just so woven into the fabric, I think, of their fandom. And you talk about, like, selling out these stadiums. I know that we're still trying to limit some of the capacities, but trying to focus on college basketball, college baseball, other sports, gymnastics even, women's college basketball. It's all stuff that's still important to SEC fans, and it's all stuff that we want to cover.
You mentioned Alabama basketball. I'm just going to throw a scenario out there for you. I mean, we got complaints here 2 days after the title. It was one of the most historic titles in college football history with Nick Saban, and fans were enough already. So let me give you, let's say we're the Monday night in April, and just think about this. Alabama wins the championship in basketball.
Oh, man. I grew up Bama fan. My whole family's from Anniston, Alabama. I can't imagine that happening, right? Like, this is, I've always said Bama basketball is like Bama football before Nick Saban. They're always in it. They're always in it somehow, whether it's a game or a season, and then something happens. Whether it's Mike Shula or Dennis Franchione or somebody like that, Mike Dubose kind of having the wheels fall off. If that happens in April, it would be astounding. It would be absolutely astounding, and it would be such a great credit to what Nate Oates is building there. And maybe it's something down the road. I hate to say this. Bama fans will probably hate on me for saying this, but there's still a lot of season left. And I think that what they're able to do right now has been really impressive, but you're playing in, you don't have that many non-conference games. You don't have to play teams like Baylor. Like, is this team going to play up against a team like Gonzaga? That's hard for me to imagine. Gonzaga does everything well. They put up so many points. So if it happens, it would be incredible. And then you also have the question too. It's like, I think Bama fans had this weird irrational way to justify it. If they win that, it's almost like, well, you were sacrificing a football championship for some reason. Like how many football championships would you give up to watch Bama win a basketball championship? For me, the answer is zero. But I think a lot of people would probably have something, a different answer than me.
Chris Marler with us. The name of the podcast is SEC Uncensored. So as we close here, let's get back to the meat on the bone here. In terms of, you know, your most uncensored takes so far or looking ahead, which program and which coach do you think you will either have already or will attack and receive the most criticism?
Well, again, so it's College Football Uncensored, and it's out on the SDS podcast feed right now, but College Football Uncensored, not just SEC football. I think the ones we'll probably attack the most are going to probably be outside the SEC. Michigan is probably going to, which I'm sure you'll enjoy, some Jim Harbaugh hatred, and Ohio State as well. But I think in the SEC, we're gonna do a lot of deep dives and taking a look into programs like Tennessee and what's going on in Tennessee with both coming off the Heupel thing and really kind of congratulating that audience as of right now and their fan base of really not losing their minds this time around. They've done a pretty good job with handling, I think, some of the self-awareness and some of the expectations for their new coach. I wonder how long that sticks around, because you talk about Josh Heupel gets in the offseason, fine. I think that they're more than capable of, you know, kind of giving him time to succeed. But when that season starts and you start losing games, I wonder how long it takes for them to kind of show their true colors. And so Tennessee will be a team that we really enjoy looking at a lot.
The name of the podcast is College Football Uncensored. By the way, Chris, I apologize for calling it SEC. Everything we do here is SEC. So, I mean, if you were covering the Ivy League, we would call it the SEC Uncensored podcast.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I apologize for that. I appreciate the shout out. Yeah. There's nothing about Ivy League about me.
One last thing on Tennessee, because that has been the story of the post-CFP. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tennessee fans, I suspect, are starting to coalesce around Josh Heupel, but it seems rather robotic. What are you hearing from Tennessee people right now in terms of their level of comfort?
I'll say it's mixed. It's some people that are really excited about it. You look at what Pruitt did, going 16-19 in 3 years. It's the third worst head coaching record they've had since head coach since World War One. So it's time for him to go. I completely agree with that. Man didn't know what asparagus was a decade ago. So if you want to bring in new blood. With Heupel, you hear good things, right? You hear good things. But like I said, it's the offseason. And you brought this up the other day, Paul, and I think this is something that'll be great on the new podcast, because it'll be a mix of seriousness and also fun, lighthearted stuff. But the graphic we made for SDS with the 25 players in the transfer portal, 25 players from Tennessee have entered the transfer portal, more than anyone else in the SEC. It's an overwhelming number. How is he going to deal with all that? And, like, unless you have a plan in place to really stick with him for multiple years outside of just the three, it's got to be 4 to 5 years for this rebuild. I don't think they're that patient. In the long run, I don't think they're that patient. And from what I've read, what I've heard, people I've talked to, that would kind of ring true with the sentiments and kind of the responses they've had. So I'm a little bit nervous to see how that plays out.
Great to have you back, Chris. People check out the wrongly addressed podcast, College Football Uncensored. Come back soon. We always enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. You have a great day.
You got it. Great stuff here. And we will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Many more guests as well as we are moving toward the end of our first hour. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here on a Thursday afternoon. And let's get right to the calls. And Carlin is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Carlin. Carlin, you there?
I'm here.
No, good. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I mean, like, the performance from Moses Moody in the Arkansas-Alabama game last night, you know, how long do you think he'll be around? And then on the second half of the question, I just want to ask you, do you think Messman will stick around at Arkansas any longer than, you know, the rest of this year and possibly next year?
Yeah, thanks for the call. I would tell you, I don't know if I have any great insight to that. I'll see if we can probe that one a little bit more deeply. Hey, thank you for the call, though. Carla is up next in Florida. Carla, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Whole hog, half ham. I thought of something very fun about Alabama and their attitude. I thought of sports, babe. Score more points. That's all she says.
Well, that's good to hear from you. We might as well just be doing the show in Northwest Arkansas today. That's where the action is. Zach is also in Arkansas. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing well. I'm Woo Pigs.
A lot of Woo Pigs
my
today.
My question is this. Since we beat Bama, can the Hogs win out the regular season?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Arkansas playing right now at probably the highest level of anyone in the league. We only have a handful of games left, so I think it's very doable.
Do you think that it will affect their come bracket time? Will they could it go up besides them staying at six?
There's no doubt. Last night was a significant win. I mean, you beat a top 10 team in the country. You beat a team that's right outside the one line for the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's Arkansas's best. I mean, there's no getting around. I mean, they have some very impressive wins this year, but nothing is going to top that one. Thanks for the call. Ray is up next in Virginia. Hey, Ray, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am well. Thank you.
I can't believe I got through, but I was sitting here watching the show and you were talking about Alabama possibly winning a basketball national championship. And I've been watching the spring sports and it looks like Alabama could win basketball, baseball, softball.
Well, why not? Just win everything, right?
Yeah, I just throw that out there for food for thought, but it just hits me that they've got four competitive teams this year that could take home the cup.
No, I mean I would agree that I think we haven't quite made that full turn. I realize baseball and softball are alive and well, but the SEC. We're going to talk to Kyle Peterson about this in about 30 minutes, but I mean they have an endless number of teams that could get to Omaha and make a run in June. But I think right now from a basketball standpoint, Alabama would not be the favorite. I think any knowledgeable basketball expert will tell you Gonzaga is a prohibitive favorite, followed by Baylor and then maybe one of the three or four Big Ten schools, but. Yeah, there'll be some teeth gnashing over what happened last night. You'll hear some purists wonder about that. Tennessee, I think it was Pat Forty the other day that said he thought Tennessee, frankly, had a better chance to make a run in the tournament than Alabama. I'm not sure I would agree with that, even though Tennessee beat Vanderbilt last night. It was another spotty win. We're up against a break. A couple hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.